don't we give the Lord another hand clap of praise in the house? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. My God, my God, my God. We are in a vein of the Spirit. And there are things that God wants to do in His house this morning. If we have faith to believe, then all things are possible. If you let Him become your joy this morning, there's no telling what impossibility He will do in your life this morning. I don't know what need you've come with. I don't know what ailment you have in your body. But I've come with a God that's got all glory and got all power. And when we enter into this house, there is liberty that is dispersed in the house of the living God. But when we begin to lift Him up, that is when there is a drawing. And if you want a drawing in your spirit, and if you need a drawing in your soul, if you would stand up and lift up the name of Jesus, then I guarantee you, not by my word, but by what the word of God says, you shall see the impossible happen. Now, I wasn't raised in church, and I know what it's like to be drunk. And can I tell you, I am flat out drunk in the Holy Ghost this morning. In Romans, he said, faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. You can be seated. Faith cometh by hearing. We almost had a PowerPoint dilemma this morning. My wife and I thought that my PowerPoint slide for this morning was saved on our flash drive, and come to find out it wasn't. And she fixed it, and I thank her publicly. Love my beautiful family, love my wife. But here's the deal. Whoever told you that when you connect your USB flash drive to that computer and you click save, that it's going to be saved on there? How did you find that out? It was by hearing the word of someone else, by someone instructing you that if you did that, then it would happen. And so faith comes by hearing. And also, can I tell you this morning that negativity and doubt and unbelief also come through the same vein by hearing. And so this morning I come to tell you, we need a baptism of hearing that hears what the word of the Lord says. But even greater than that, in Psalms 51, he said, make me to hear gladness and make me to hear joy. And this morning, can I tell you, turn to your neighbor and say, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. I pray that there be a deliverance of faith in this house this morning, that the word of faith would go forth and the gift of faith in this sanctuary this morning. We love you. We bless you. We give you glory and honor. I'm not trying to hype you up. That's not my intention. But I have come with a word from heaven. And you say, how can you get up and say that? Because I know that I know that I know. Brother Cisco said on Wednesday that when he asked me to preach this Sunday, the Lord gave me two directions. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm not preaching two services. And here's the awesome thing about that, because me and God have a deal. And I told him that I would go on a preaching moratorium until the end of the year. I will not preach any other place than if I was asked to preach in my home church. So there was no reason for me to have to prepare or even think about another message. That's how divine and in the will of God that we are in. Faith, faith, faith. If you have your Bibles, you can be seated. You can remain seated. I'm going to read about 11 verses. John chapter 2. Beginning at verse 1, I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. And on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and they ran out of wine. And the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. And his mother said unto the servants, Whatsoever he says to you, do it. Now there were 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it, and when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said, Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. They have no wine. I don't know if Jesus was called for that particular purpose or if the call was simply a regular invitation to the wedding. But nonetheless, at the wedding, they run out of wine. And Mary comes up to her boy and says, they have no wine. He says, Woman, what does your hour have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. And while he was speaking about his hour, the death on the crucifixion, there's also a part in there that he must have been speaking about the miraculous, because the 11th verse says, And this is the beginning of signs that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. But Jesus' mom simply said to the servants, Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Can I tell you this morning that there are words that are going to go across this auditorium from this side to the other? There are words that are going to be spoken in your heart. And all I ask of you today, I don't ask you to take off running. I don't ask you to take off shouting. I don't ask you to preach me down. But here's what I ask, that when the word comes forth to you, simply do it. Simply move on the word that God is going to release in your life this morning. Jesus didn't touch the wine. He didn't lay hands on the water. But the first miracle, the beginning of all miracles, was simply the power of his spoken word. And can I tell you, there are miracles in this house. Last time I went to bed or looked at the clock this morning was almost 2:00 this morning. And as I began to sleep, the Lord began to show me dreams. And all of a sudden I got scared because he said, Your young men shall see vision and your old men shall dream dreams. And I began to say, Oh, Lord, I got up and see if I could see the same vision while I was awake. But it didn't happen. But can I tell you, I saw positioning of a people at the river that were about to cross over. And the Lord spoke into my spirit and said that in this house there would be an exodus of Egyptian thinking. That for so long this body of people have thought and dreamed under the mentality of bondage. And he would liberate. As you can tell, that's what I'm going to preach. Amen. I haven't started preaching. I'm flowing in the Holy Ghost, folks. You know, too long we try to become one another, and I'm just going to be me. I'm just going to be me. I know the giftings and the callings that God has given to me, and I will not back down nor walk in fear. But you also have got to walk in the liberty of the Holy Ghost. Walk in the liberty of the calling that God has given you. Don't worry about what anybody else says. You don't need anybody else to qualify you if he qualifies you. That's the only qualifier in this place. It doesn't matter if I think you're gifted or if I think you have the ability. If he thinks that it's all good, then you don't have anything else to worry about. You move on the word that God begins to speak to you. Father, we love you. I thank you right now. I release the spirit of faith, oh Lord, that the gift of faith would move in this sanctuary. As you told me, there are words that are going to be released in this house, oh Lord, that even people would receive healing without someone laying hands on them. But simply by the power of your spoken word, there would be mass healing in this house, oh Lord, from one side of the auditorium to the other. I'm believing right now that the river of Ezekiel would begin to flow in this house and begin to move and uproot all doubt and unbelief, oh Lord, and that faith would be released in this sanctuary. We move beyond where we've been and we move to a different realm, to a different desire. We cross the river in the spirit, Lord, and move into a place where we know that all things are possible. Yes, with man, though things are impossible, but we're not with man. We are walking according to the calling and the moving of your spirit. I take dominion right now over every foul spirit that would try to bind the hindering and hinder the moving of the Holy Ghost. I take dominion in the name of Jesus Christ, and I loose the word of God to have free course, to have free reign. Let us feel the power of your spirit this morning. One more time, give him a hand clap of praise in this house. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. One of the greatest powers that experiences hold are the powers of making us. They either make us better or bitter. And for so long, we have flipped the coin of experience and let it fall as it may. We take our experience and flip it like a coin, and maybe it will be better in our lives, or maybe it will become bitter in our lives. Better or bitter, bitter or better, and we leave it all to chance. But now is the high time for the church, corporately and individually, to stop flipping the coin of experience and decide that every experience will make us better. An experience is an encounter. To encounter or undergo an event or an occurrence, it is to feel, to taste, to see, to suffer, to try. A particular instance of personally encountering or undergoing something. Experience means the process or fact of personally observing. I want you to catch that word, personally. Observing, encountering, or undergoing something. The observing, encountering, or undergoing of things generally as they occur in the course of time. To learn from experience, the knowledge or practical wisdom gained from what one has observed, encountered, or undergone. A man of experience, it is the totality of cognitions given by perception. All that is perceived, all that is understood, and all that is remembered. Experience is to have an experience of, to meet with, to feel. But one of the main definitions is to learn by experience. Experience is a wonderful thing. It helps you recognize a mistake, and then when you make it again. So for the next few moments, I want to preach, when your experience shifts your season. When your experience shifts your season. In the early days of the telegraph, there were serious plans being made for a line from Washington to Baltimore. And 5 men were appointed to investigate their findings and then to decide whether they should do it or not, to turn in their reports. 2 of them did some quick figuring and concluded no. 2 more said, why don't you give it a trial run? But 1 went out for a little while and returned saying, yes, the line is entirely practicable. He had experienced the sensation of receiving a message over the experimental wire and realized the possibilities and come to an emphatic conclusion, yes. There's something about experience that you cannot deny. If someone were to walk up to you and slap you upside your head, you can't deny that they just slapped you upside your head. It's an experience, something you felt, something you suffered, something you underwent. You cannot deny an experience. Some people have said that the Holy Ghost is not being poured out anymore. that speaking in tongues is a thing of the old, and healings are dried up as some dried up sack on the side of the road. But I've come to tell you that experience you cannot deny, and experience I cannot deny. If you maybe had come about 20 years earlier, maybe you might have convinced me that it wasn't so. But 20 years ago, he filled me with a baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. I've seen people healed. I've been healed in my own body. So if you think that there is no power in experiences, they hold a significant power in your life. The problem is, will we let our experience make us better? Will we grow? Will we learn from it? Or will we become bitter and let all things fall due to an experience? It has been experiences that have shaped men and women of God. And while some have given in to defeat and become bitter by their experience, others have decided to become better by their experience. Mary has an experience in the Bible. It's found in Luke 1, 26 through 37. Now Mary has an angelic visitation from the angel Gabriel. And here's Gabriel's greetings. Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. I don't know about you, but I've had people that have come up to me, not in this church, but they'll say, my goodness, you know, you're looking like you're losing weight, da 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 da. And then said, oh, can I ask you one thing? And it usually comes out, they need me to do something, need to borrow some money, need something. Some sort of catch. And so I wondered, is this why Mary is troubled at his saying? Because he's just buttered it up. And last time I cooked the turkey for Thanksgiving, I buttered it before I cooked it. And so here's Mary. She's wondering. She becomes troubled in the saying of the angel. But study would show also that she could have been troubled with the fact that the angel Gabriel showed up in Nazareth. Research has shown, my research, that Nazareth would be considered the other side of the tracks. What's the angel doing showing up in the ghetto? What's the angel doing showing up here calling me highly favored and blessed? And so she becomes troubled in her saying. Gabriel goes on to say, don't worry, don't fear, Mary. You have found favor with God. How many want the favor of the Lord in this house this morning? I think you raised your hand too quick. Because favor at times will cause the need for an instant all-trusting faith and belief in a word that is spoken to you. Why? Because the very next words out of the angel's mouth are, you're going to conceive a child in your womb and you're going to call him Jesus. And while some would say that's one of the greatest things to be called a mother and to carry the body of Jesus, here's the problem. She's not married and she ain't never been with a man. And try to explain to your husband, I'm pregnant, but it's not your baby. Favor at times, we begin to pray for favor and ask for favor. And God, all of a sudden, when he gives us favor, it's not exactly what we thought or what we had in mind. Because all of a sudden, she's thrown into a life of obscurity, a life of running here and there. A life that maybe brought tension in her marriage. Even though the angel spoke to Joseph, can you imagine? I'm going to be just blunt and honest. If my wife told me that she was pregnant with another man's baby, someone else's baby, I don't know that I could be comfortable around her. And I don't know that any man could. And there would be feelings that all of a sudden begin to crop up. Listen to me. I know where I'm going. There are instances where what God is depositing in your life will bring the snares, the looks of others, some even in the same sanctuary of God. And that's when faith kicks in. Did I believe or did I hear right? You showed up on the other side of the tracks and you told me that I'm going to have a baby and I've never been with a man. I pray for favor. But after reading this, I thought maybe I better pray for a different type of favor. Because not all of us are built to endure all the circumstances that come when true favor shows up in your life. The favor of God caused her to run. The favor of God afforded her a stable to deliver her promise. Not in some luxury hospital. Not in some place where she would have the best of circumstances, nor the best of conditions, but her experience shift her season. I don't know who you are in this house this morning, but you've been praying for favor and you got it. And now you're wondering, why is everyone turning their back on me? Why is everyone looking cross-eyed at me? Because at times, the favor of God does not come how we project to see it. Favor is to honor with blessings or to endue with special honor. But it takes a radical all trust in faith. The angel whose name means power with God has now shifted the season of Mary. While any mother in her right mind would be happy, I wonder what goes through Mary's mind. For the angel says, I'm paraphrasing, you don't have to worry about your son. He's going to be something in this life. He's going to be called the Son of the Highest. He's going to have a throne. He's going to reign. And there'll be no end to his kingdom. You're going to be a mama, Mary. I wonder if Mary had the same thought, the same phrase, catchphrase that can be heard near the Johnson Space Center. Houston, we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. I'm a virgin. Another thing, I'm not married. But the favor of God, when it comes, at times, we pray, and from the time of our prayer to the answering of our prayer, we receive something that was not expected. But can I tell you that sometimes favor will become the hardest trial you ever face in your life. Favor will bring things that you never thought would be possible. But in the end result will be the birth of something greater. Something miraculous, something that will lift you out of your little world, literally and figuratively. I'm telling you, hold on. If you found favor and you also found a frightening time in your life, hold on, because there's something greater that is being birthed from your spirit and birthed from your heart. Don't worry about what everybody else says. Don't worry about the looks that everyone gives you. You have found favor. Maybe you found obscurity. Maybe you're in a stable. Maybe you're running for your life. Maybe you're doing all these things, but it will produce the miraculous that will get you out of your dilemma here and get you out of your dilemma literally into a different kingdom. Your faith has that power. Your favor has that power. Mary has been given favor. Mary has been given favor. And she has a decision to make. For her experience will either make her better or make her bitter. Mary's experience has shifted her season, and her experience is one that supersedes the laws of humanity. Think about that. It supersedes the laws of humanity, for here we have a pregnant virgin girl. Never again the only time. Her experience has shifted her season, and while everything will change for her, her change will also bring forth the Christ. Experiences have the power to shut up things and to bring silence into the midst of your connection and your community. You see, because before the angel went to Mary, he visited a man by the name of Zacharias. And his experience altogether wasn't the same. For he shows up and begins to speak to Zacharias, and he tells him, "Your prayer has been heard, Zacharias. And now Elizabeth, your wife's going to give you a son." But the outcome between Zacharias and Gabriel is totally different. For Gabriel, as he delivers the word to Zacharias, Zacharias ends his visitation becoming mute because of his unbelief. You know, one thing that will bring silence in the kingdom and community you live in is unbelief. One thing that will wreck your prayers from being answered, even after an angel has been dispatched to tell you that your prayer has been answered and your wife's going to bear the son you've been praying for, unbelief will shut your mouth and cause silence for a cycle and a season. One thing caused his silence. It was unbelief. Can I tell you this morning that while unbelief is the currency of hell, belief or faith is the currency of heaven. And you decide which bill you pull out. You decide by which kingdom you're going to work on or work in. You've been given the authority and the ability. But don't let unbelief slip in. Don't let unbelief slip in. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And for the duration of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Zacharias could not speak. For now, his experience had shifted his season. And he was in a season where he could speak. And now he finds himself in a season where he can't utter a word. Because unbelief creeped in. But here's the awesome thing about the experience of Zacharias. For 9 months and 8 days later, he's given a second chance. When Elizabeth gives birth to John, her relatives and neighbors try to name the baby Zacharias after his father, but Elizabeth says his name is John. And they, in essence, tell her that this should not be his name because there's no other one by that, no other name like that among our friends or our relatives. And so they bring Zacharias a writing tablet, and what he writes is his name is John. He wasn't in the same room, because in those times, in those days, when a woman gave birth, there was a period of time that she could not be near anybody because she was considered unclean. And so when they showed up to wherever Zacharias is at, probably hoping that he wouldn't name him Zacharias, he simply wrote on the tablet his name is John. And immediately his mouth was open and his tongue is loosed and he begins to praise God. Here's the word from the Lord. If at first you failed and unbelief was the currency you used, when the time comes around, all you have to do is believe in the first word that was given to you. Can I tell you, if you had been prophesied over that some things were going to happen, maybe that you were going to receive a healing and unbelief creeped in, and all of a sudden you found that your season became silent and you did not see the fruition of those things, here is your second chance. The Lord has walked in this sanctuary and all he's asking is you to simply believe the first word. If you can believe the first word, he's walking up and he's saying, "What's his name, Zach? Zacharias? What's his name? What's the name I gave you? What's the word I gave you? What is it that is I put in your spirit? Speak it now. Write it now. And you shall see the miraculous come forth. Don't worry about what your neighbors say, because they were trying to influence Mary Elizabeth and Zacharias. Don't worry about what even your relatives say about the word that God has given to you. For just as he stooped down on the ground to write, he is coming again with a second chance and going to release you from those who want to inflict harm on you. Just like the lady who was caught in the sin of adultery, he simply got down and he began to write. What it was that he wrote, he was writing the first word that he ever gave. He wrote that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the last time he looked, she was dead. I'm telling you, in this house there is a liberty and there's an authority that you have to walk into. All you have to do is go on the first word he ever spoke into your spirit. There is a power in our experience. There is a power that is found in our experience. There is a power that is found in our experience. The Lord's fixing to give some word to somebody. There's a word right now that is being released individually into the hearts and the people under the sound of my voice. All he asks is that you do whatever he says. Whatever he says, he's asking the spirit of faith. Faith has just entered into this building. There is a spirit of faith. The gift of faith now is flowing. Some of you have been given a word and time has lapsed and you don't believe the word, and family members and relatives and friends have tried to tear you down and tear the word from within you. But I'm telling you, you've endured the pain, you've endured the suffering, you've endured the running, you've endured trying to deliver that word in the not the best of circumstances. But he's here now again, and there is no longer going to be silence, but he's going to move in the realm where you begin to write. And when you write and move upon the first word, your mouth is going to be open and you're going to begin to prophesy and proclaim with your own voice and begin to praise God, because he is a God of second chances. It's the God of third, fourth, fifth. It does not matter. So long as you have breath in your lungs this morning, there is a God that has come to answer. There's a God that's come to minister. I'm telling you, the word of the Lord is being released. Faith cometh by hearing, faith cometh by hearing, faith cometh by hearing, faith cometh by hearing, faith cometh by hearing. Now faith, now faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith, now faith, now faith, O Lord. I turn to you, Lord. Now faith, now faith, now faith. There are words that are being released in this house. There is no need for some minister to come lay his hand on you, but the God of glory is beginning to speak in this house. There is a word that is going forth into your spirit and into your mind. As God's beginning to speak in this sanctuary. How could Mary come up to the servants and begin to tell them that they should do whatever he says after she's received an outright no when she tells them they have no wine? And Jesus said, what concern is that of mine or of yours? My hour is not yet come. But Mary, can I tell you, is moving on an experience that she happened to have when the angel told her she would carry that same man that's standing before her. And so Mary is holding on to the spark of a not yet when Jesus says, it's not my time. My time is not yet. But Mary holds on to it and begins to institute a word of faith and a statement of faith when she tells the servants, when he says, whatever he says, when he speaks, all you need to do is simply do it. That's all I'm asking you to do. When he begins to speak, do it. Why? How could she know that he would speak again? Because she had inner a connection with heaven before. It had spoken to her in time past, and she knew that if he spoke once, that he would speak again. And that's how we walk in this place and tell you that there's enough faith in this sanctuary for you to leave here healed, for you to leave here delivered, for you to leave here with your situation met and your need answered, because I've experienced it before and it shifted my season. And I simply ask that when the word of the Lord goes forth, that you would answer and do what he says to do. My word have I released in this house, a word that carries power. For there is a power found in the word of a king. And I speak in the kingship of my kingdom and speak that the word that goes forth will bring healing in this house of body, soul, spirit. For this house shall be raised up for example, and for those to look and to see that God, that I am at work in this sanctuary, thus saith the Lord. Let's give my hand clap of praise in this house. Shatala bahara shata raba shata laka. Rabahara shata raba shata raka raba sha. Raba shata raha raba shata raba. The musicians will come. The Lord is in this house. There is word that has gone forth. And while the word has gone collectively to this church, there was a word that has been spoken individually to people in this house. Ramashata, Ramashata, Ramasha. I begin to pray, the Lord gave me a word for this church. Nathanael's experience. Nathanael is invited by Philip to come and to see Jesus of Nazareth. To which he says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Here again, a statement of how can something good come out of a city on the other side of the tracks. As Nathanael comes near to Jesus, Jesus says, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. Nathanael says, how do you know me? And Jesus replied, Philip called you when you were under the fig tree and I saw you. Nathanael then says, "You are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe you will see greater things than these?" And he said unto him, "Most assuredly," or the King James Version says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Verily, verily, in the original language means amen. And they don't usually use the double word, verily, verily. But as I begin to study, I saw something that was so powerful. And where we would begin to think maybe it was a typo, or maybe the writer, when he was moved by the Spirit, got excited and simply put, verily, verily. But verily means at the beginning of a discourse, surely, truly, of a truth, amen. And at the end, that same said discourse, so it is, may it be fulfilled. And what the Lord was saying was, verily, verily, when he said that, he was saying from the beginning to the end of your season, you will see the heavens opened. Open is simply the opening of the mouth, the eyes, the heavens, the doors, etc. The word here that is used is literally meant to have the neck bent back and to be laid bare. Here's the word that the Lord told me for our season. You have the perfection, or the perception down. When Jesus came to Nathanael and he told him, "How do you know me?" He said, "I saw you under the fig tree when Philip called you." And he said, "You are the King of Israel." There was a perception. He had the ability to see who he was. And the Lord said, this church has down the perception. You can see what I want to do in this sanctuary. You can see what I want to do in this kingdom. You can see what I want to do in this community. You can see what I want to do in your church. You can see that the things I want to do are true and right. But now is the time to move. Now is the time that I transition you from perception to performance. You say, "How's that so?" Because it was Nathanael's experience that opened the windows of heaven. And that's how Mary can walk up to Jesus and begin to say, "They have no wine." And all of a sudden, the currency of heaven, faith, causes a time where there was no time. It wasn't that Christ was indecisive, but he was looking for someone who had faith to believe that your faith can change the situation and the circumstance that you find yourself in this morning. I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, this church, I prophesy to you, shall now begin to see the performance of the kingdom of God. Why? We've got perception down. We've had it down. We've had seasons and we've had waves of a performance in this house. There were times where these balconies were full, but now, yea, under the Lord, I say, you shall see the performance. You shall see the performance. You're going to move into the realm. You're going to move into the realm of performance. Can I tell you, your season, your experience not only shifts your season, but your experience shifts the seasons of every single person in your community. Can I tell you, if you've been given a word to give to somebody else, you walk in the authority of an open heaven. It's been laid bare. It's laid bare. The last time I checked, when you lay someone bare on a table, that means there's nothing that can be hidden, but all things are made visible and perceived. And I tell you, there is a realm right now that we are entering into, and we're moving into the realm where everything is laid bare before us. You see healing, you see financial blessing, you see the miraculous, you see God overcoming, you see all these things because he is not hiding anything. Yes. We'll all stand. One last thing, and then I move out of the way. The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. There's one more experience, and that's the experience of the servant. That you and I, in this house, we are servants of this house. We're servants of that kingdom. Whatever he says, do it. Whatever he says, do it. They must not only have faith and belief and trust in what he says, but they must be attentive and listen for when he speaks. They wouldn't be able to listen to what he said if they were miles away from where he was at. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God's trying to speak, but you've got to ask yourself, am I close enough to be able to hear? Am I close enough to the situation that when he begins to speak, I have the ability to move on the word that he speaks? Have to be able to hear, and then they must move on the word and the call that he has given unto them. They must risk all, abandon all, move on the faith in their hearts. Faith without works is dead. And the word that Jesus gives brings two actions. One is to fill the water pots, and two, the other is to draw out and give to the minute master of the feast. It's my belief that the faith didn't come in the filling of the water pots. It doesn't take much faith to come in here to open ourselves up and to be filled with the word of God. But the faith comes when it's time to draw out and take to somebody else. Can I tell you in this house? Can I tell you? It's my belief that when they begin to draw out the water, it still looked like see, Jesus could have instantly filled the water, turned it to wine. Remember the widow of Zarephath, where he touched the pot or the cruse of oil, and it just continued. It continued. But he decided that he would let man now become part of the miraculous. And in drawing out, they pull out, and they can see that the water still looks the same. There are substantial changes of God in this house that he wants to draw out. But don't look at what it looks like on the surface. You just go ahead and draw out in faith and take that word to someone else. Take that word to someone else. Your experience today has the power to shift somebody's season. Not only will it shift your season, but it'll shift someone else's season. One last thing. Me and Tanya were first married 10 years ago. I tried to preach out a few places and it just didn't work. But anyway, we were young, didn't have much money, and a friend of mine asked me to come preach. I said, fine. And we went by faith, because for us to go preach would have meant that we would not have money to pay the rent. The apartment we were staying in. And I went and I told the Lord, I said, you know what, I'm stepping out in faith. And I don't remember the sermon that was preached, but I remember there came a point in time in that service the Lord spoke to me. And I've maybe only done it a handful of times, but the Lord said, and it was a word for that church as well, that if you will get out and roll in my presence, I will make a way. When I said that I fell, the pastor fell, and the pastor's father-in-law fell, and we begin to row, and we begin, somebody hit me. I don't remember if I have had a knot or not, but we got up, service was over, we went to their house to have lunch, bathe there. Usually my friend hands me the check as soon as I'm finished. There was no check. We're eating and I'm thinking, oh Lord, I don't know how we could. He says, all right, we'll see y'all later. I said, okay. We walked out to the car. We're getting in the car. I'm sitting. 1 foot is in and 1 foot is out. And he walks up and says, oh, I forgot to give you the check. I said, oh, don't worry about it. I gave the check to my wife and she opened it. And it was for the exact amount that we needed to pay the rent. What are you saying, preacher? Can I tell you, when they begin to sing, I'm not doing this for you, but God spoke a word to me, and this will be my fourth time that I begin to roll in the presence of God, because I'm moving on a word that He gave to me. And all He's asking is me simply to do it. If you think I'm doing this for your entertainment, you're wrong. But there is a moving in the Spirit, and there is a breaking, and a heaven that is laid back and laid bare. And you begin to lift your head and begin to see that all of a sudden there are words that are being released in this house. So you do whatever you feel in the Holy Ghost. You go ahead and move on the word that God has given you. I'm going to move on the word that has been spoken into my life, into my spirit, in the name of